got tears in my eyes. This is the greatest moment in my life.
The man to beat me haven't been born yet.
I have no followers. I have only brothers and sisters, all in the name of cause.
I am the best on this microphone. Nobody can touch me.
I got enemies, got a lot of enemies, got a lot of people trying to drain me of the synergy.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, got a couple cards coming up next week. We got Unified MMA 34. We also have Rumble in the Cage 59. I'm excited for both of these. I'll be covering them cage side, and my guest today will also be doing the same. I've got Joel with MMA Empire on the program. How's your day going so far, man?
It's good. It's good. How about yours?
Oh, it's been good. I had an interview earlier, and I was talking to Colton Menzak ahead of his fight with Neil Anderson here, and that's a fight that I, you know, find pretty compelling at 155 pounds there, that going at Unified MMA 34. What are your thoughts on that particular fight?
Yeah, I like that as well. Against Neil Anderson, you know, he's obviously coming off a big win last time in the cage against Bahrain Youssefi, and you know, Colton's got a couple recent losses, tough losses, but he always, you know, he always shows up to fight, and I think that one's got potential to certainly get the crowd on its feet, I would say.
Yeah, Bahrain Youssefi also on this card as well, another lightweight bout. But one of the big fights I'm looking forward to is Ryan Ford getting back in there in the welterweight ranks and facing an opponent of, you know, similar experience, actually even more experience within the MMA ranks there. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that fight coming up there? I mean, do you expect there to be maybe any cage rust for Ryan Ford, being that he was involved in boxing, obviously, so it wasn't like he was out of combat sports entirely. But, you know, being that this is his return to the mixed martial arts cage, what are your thoughts on maybe how he's going to come back?
Yeah, I just finished up an interview with him a couple of days, and, you know, it doesn't sound like he's too worried about that, about the cage rust at all. He said, you know, he's been training hard, working on his grappling, jiu-jitsu, and everything. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting fight. I do not see that one going the distance at all. I see someone getting the knockout, and just from, you know, the strength of Ford striking, I think it's going to be him, and you know, probably, you know, pretty good for him after all the back and forth, you know, trash talk on Facebook. Possibly.
Yeah, it's always good to see a little bit of beef on social media sometimes. Well, I guess it depends. Certain times it's kind of cringy, but that was pretty enjoyable. I was checking that out as well. A lot of memes coming out of that and whatnot too. But mm-hmm. We got a couple of title fights topping this card here that I'm really looking forward to, and I'm sure the crowd at River Creek Casino is going to be echoing those sentiments too. Pat Pitlick against Byron Phillips is an interesting one too, being that Pitlick, I mean, I think he looks pretty impressive, being that he's undefeated at this juncture in his career, welterweight title, and I mean, the last time I saw him in the cage there, I was, you know, quite impressed. But Byron Phillips, a good opponent for him at this juncture in his career, definitely has that experience edge, actually has twice the amount of professional bouts. What are your thoughts on the Unified MMA welterweight title fight here?
It's a very interesting matchup. I mean, yeah, like you said, Pitlick is, you know, he's been really impressive. I mean, you know, he's 6-0. Last four fights, he's finished in the first round. You know, never had to go to the distance. They've all been finishes by knockout. But now he's got Byron, who's never been finished. He's never been, you know, let me make sure that, yeah, he's never been finished unless you count his ankle injury at Hard Knocks 54. But that, you know, he didn't get finished there. So, you know, he's very, a very durable opponent. He hasn't been knocked out. Him and Matt Krakow went back and forth at Fight Night 6, big shots. You know, neither of them went out. And this might be finally, this is certainly the toughest test of Pat's career. And, but, you know, he's a very elite striker. And, if maybe he does catch Ryan with one and, you know, gets the finish. But I can kind of see this one go in the distance and Pitlick earning the decision.
Yeah, it's going to be a compelling fight either way, and that being in the co-main event slot. But in the main event, Teddy Ash taking on Seth Baczynski. And I think this is a great fight, too, in as far as there's those potential, you know, UFC implications at play there. I mean, a lot of that narrative around Teddy Ash, Seth, you know, already having that experience, but maybe one of those situations where, you know, has a win here and it vaults him back to that sort of stage. And also Champ implications in this fight as well, being that Teddy Ash is the light heavyweight champion for Unified and this being the middleweight championship bout. What are your thoughts on this main event for Unified MMA 34?
I really like this one. I mean, Seth's been in there with a ton of good guys over his career. I mean, he's obviously a little older now, but, you know, he's been in there with guys like Leon Edwards, Alan Joban, Thiago Alves. He has a win over Neil Magny. So, I mean, he's been in there with some of the best guys in the business. And, but he was getting, like I said, he's getting older, and, you know, Teddy Ash is on his way up. He's looking to get to the UFC. I mean, if the win here, I mean, I don't know what more else you have to do to get there. He's on a good winning streak right now. I think this would make five in a row for Teddy if he were to win this. Six in a row if he were to win this, and all against tough opponents. And, I think it's going to be a tough fight. I think, you know, I could see it, could potentially be just a 5-round war. But I do see Teddy coming out on top. I think he's just going to be too durable and too much in the end for Seth.
Yeah, I think you articulated that perfectly. Teddy being in that sort of position where he's on the come up, and Seth being that established sort of veteran who's kind of like the figure who's in his way at this juncture. So, like, perfect fight for both of these guys at this point. But I've liked that Unified had the amateur bouts that are as a part of the card. And I think that's due to the, you know, switching in commissions, being that they're operating with a, you know, different regulatory body now that they're in Enoch, which is technically outside of the Alberta, like, overriding body there. But some compelling amateur fights here. I mean, Matt Klute going to be there. We've got Harley King, Tyrell Gisselbrecht, a few people who, you know, have been pretty impressive from what I've seen a few of these guys compete live. So what are your thoughts on some of the amateur bouts on Unified 34?
Yeah, I really like that Harley King Isaiah Bean fight. That should be an interesting one. I think that's kicking off the card. I also really like Sambath Kuhn and Peter Jansen. It's been a while since Kuhn's been in there, but he's got quite a lot of experience for an amateur. And Jansen's coming off a tough loss just at the most recent XFFC card there. I really like that matchup, though, Sambath Kuhn and Peter Jansen. I think that's going to be an interesting fight. Robert Kovacevic and Malcolm Tisdale, another interesting one. Obviously, Robert's got he's a strong kickboxer, so that one's got potential to be fireworks as well. I think one fight that's not an amateur fight, but I think could be potentially fight of the night is Cam McDonald and Nick Harabic, the first pro fight on the card. I think that one's got potential to be fireworks in that one.
Yeah, Cam definitely brings it. I mean, a couple fights into his career so far, but I've seen him compete as well and definitely brings that intensity to the cage. And really looking forward to Unified MMA 34, and people can check that out online and, you know, get things going on that end if they're not able to see it in person. But another card that I'm really looking forward to that has that amateur MMA component as well in a big way is Rumble in the Cage 59, and definitely got a few of those amateur bouts on the card. And I really think Rumble in the Cage has been great for the cultivation of the amateur MMA scene, because I feel like even in just the last couple of years there's been enormous growth and huge strides in amateur MMA becoming better and more refined. And I feel like Rumble in the Cage has really provided that platform, just being that it's provided those, you know, platform for the nationals leading into amateur worlds and whatnot. So what are your thoughts on that sentiment, and I guess what Rumble in the Cage has done for amateur MMA evolving?
Yeah, it's great. They always have leave a large portion of their cards open to for amateurs. Levine's really good at matchmaking as well for it. And I think it was Rumble in the Cage 57, it was an all amateur card, and it was a great card. It ended up being awesome. And, Lee loves to grow the sport. You know, he's obviously one of the best mentors out there, especially in Western Canada. And, he does everything he can to grow the amateur game and MMA in general.
And are there any amateur bouts that are standing out for you in particular? I mean, we got Shawn Michaels here, not to be confused with the Heartbreak Kid of WWE fame for certain people out there, but definitely had a few promising amateurs on the portion of the card there. So any bouts standing out in particular to you?
that one you just mentioned there, Shawn Michaels and Andrew Mavridis. Shawn Michaels always brings it. He's got the potential to end the fight in one punch. He's got incredible power. Andrew Mavridis, he's undefeated. I mean, he's only had, he's got three fights, 3-0. He's got 2 decision wins. So it's going to be an interesting fight. I think Shawn Michaels is certainly going to be the toughest test that Andrew's faced yet. I'm looking forward to the outcome of that one. Another interesting one is Evan Piercy and Jeremy Greve. You know, Evan Piercy, a very, very dangerous striker. Early in his career, 2 very quick finishes to start his career off. Tough loss last card. He was on to Conor Krebs, but it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back in that one.
Yeah, definitely some compelling debutant sort of fights, too. I mean, Ryan Lebedoff, Lou Bernard is one I'm noticing at an amateur 130-pound catch weight. And, you know, Brandon Burton, a few other personalities on the card who are 0-0. But to your prior point you made about Lee Mean's great track record for matchmaking, I mean, that kind of reflects itself well, even with debuting fighters. You have to imagine, based on that track record there, that these are going to be compelling, exciting, well-matched bouts.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. How he does it, but he's just got a knack for finding the right matchups and, you know, the right tests for different guys. And, he always seems to put on a good show.
Yeah, and the amateur portion, definitely something I'm excited about, clearly, how much I'm talking about it, but also the pro portion of the card here for Rumble in the Cage 59. One fight I've been looking at is Majed Hamo against Fred Stonehouse in a featherweight bout there, and I actually interviewed Fred as well, which is going to be dropping in the coming days, and he seemed really, you know, focused and locked into the fight, and I think this is a great bout, a great matchmaking to the prior points we've been articulating on. What are your thoughts on Majed Hamo and Fred Stonehouse in as far as how they match up?
Yeah, again, I also like this one. I know I chatted with both of them as well. They are both very focused on this one. They're Fred's obviously coming all the way from Ottawa for this one. And Majed, it's been a while since Majed's fought. This is the last time he fought was with Jesse Arnett at Hard Knocks, I believe, where he stepped up on, and that was, good on him. I mean, his last couple fights have been against really tough guys. One thing about them is they, both of them do not like to go to a decision. They a lot of their fights have ended early. And I think this has potential for fireworks, this one.
Absolutely, and a bunch of other bouts on the card really catching my attention, too. I mean, Neil Barry, Jordan Murray, pro heavyweight bout. I mean, everyone loves the heavyweight slinging that leather out there. I mean, always exciting to watch that sort of endeavor there. But the middleweight bout with Colton Cronkite, 2-0 prospect that's been, catching some attention lately. George Davis, though, 2-1, definitely a, commensurately skilled sort of opponent and as far as the experience there. So, yeah, a couple fights there catching my attention. What are your thoughts on those respective bouts there?
Yeah, those are all interesting. I mean, Neil Barry, it's been a while since he's been in the cage, so it'll be interesting to see how he does. Colton Cronkite, obviously very, very dangerous with his submissions. I could see once again him managing to sink in one of those. He always seems to find a way. I think the one I'm really looking forward to seeing is John Wynn making his pro debut. Against Ryan Moore. I mean, Wynn was one of the best amateurs in Western Canada for sure. He went to Worlds, I think, a couple times, and he's fought some of the toughest guys as an amateur, including Justin Basra, Lucas Neufeld, a few other tough guys. So I'm interested to see how he does in the pro game. I think it's going to he'll translate well. Translate well into the pros.
That's gonna be a great fight for sure. Great points made there, but kind of has a similar dynamic that bout with John and Ryan. I mean, similar dynamic to the Joel Adorski Greg Large fight, and as far as there's one opponent who's making their debut, trying to make that big initial impression, and then I think there's something to be said. I think there's a cool narrative aspect to a certain fighter who's like trying to notch more wins, like they have a losing record, they're kind of like behind it a little bit, but I think there's something to be said for that gumption to come out with that vigor and try to, you know, secure that sort of W. So kind of similar dynamic between those fights on that level.
Yeah, for sure. Joel Ladorsky, he was a force as an amateur. I think 3-0 is what he was as an amateur, and each victory was pretty much dominant. Like you said, with Greg Large, he's a little bit behind, but he's clearly got the passion, clearly got the hunger to succeed and to keep coming back and giving it everything. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes for Adorsky.
Yeah, I just love the motivations that, each fighter has kind of coming into it. It's kind of like one of the fun things I like to analyze with fights. But the main and co-main event here are interesting too. Justin Basra, Joaquin Calderon in the, featherweight bout there. And Sheldon Dahl against Marcus Hicks. I saw that kind of pop up a little bit recently. Wasn't initially positioned as the main event.
Yeah.
An interesting light heavyweight bout there for sure. So what are your breakdowns on the co-main and main events respectively? I think people who followed the Canadian MMA scene for at least a little while are kind of caught up in these fights. I mean, they know who these respective competitors are and they're kind of caught up in the respective narratives and all that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really like Justin Basra. I think he's the real deal. It's just a matter of time, I think, before we see him in one of the big promotions. But he certainly doesn't have an easy out in Calderon. Calderon's been in there with some tough guys, and most people think that his record is, most people have his record as 4-4, but I talked to him, he's actually 8-4, so he's got a ton of experience, lots of wins under his belt, he knows what it takes to win. But in the end, Justin Basra, he's just a different animal. He's hard to beat anywhere, really. I think he's just going to be constant pressure, takedowns. I think it's going to be just a little too much for Calderon. As far as the main event, this is an interesting, very interesting one when Marcus Hicks was announced as the replacement. Sheldon Dahl has been on an absolute tear lately, just destroying guys. It's been a while since Hicks has been in the cage, obviously. As I've been told, it's from him, it's just been contract stuff that's been keeping him out. Obviously Hicks is an interesting, very interesting guy. Not necessarily a favorite to many, he does get it done in the cage. It's going to be interesting to see how he matches up with Sheldon Dahl. I think, they both got a very similar narrative to their careers. They both just go for the finish, as far as Hicks goes, he's been, his last 5 wins have all been early finishes, all by submission. So it's going to be, so he's certainly going to have an opportunity to win the fight over Sheldon. But he's got to watch out for Sheldon's heavy hands, because that's what's been doing the damage for him in his last few fights. And I think this one is going to be over early.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be a fairly volatile bout there. But really excited for both of these cards coming up here. We got Unified MMA 34 September 28th in Enoch. And then also in Alberta, we have Rumble in the Cage 59 the day after September 29th. I'm going to be cage side for that, and people can check out a recap of all these bouts and further details at MMAEmpire.ca. Make sure to follow MMA Empire on all relevant social media platforms. Really appreciate the time, Joel, and hope you enjoy the rest of your day there, man.
Absolutely. You too.